But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some of the latest in fucking over U.S. soybean farmers. Move on to Cruella de Nome caught lying to Congress. And follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, Schmucks of the Caribbean, Keg's Breath Edition. Let's begin, shall we? After 327 days into Bubba Bitch's second attempt at destroying the shining city on a hill.
Shh, you wanna get sued?
No one explains the predicament Americans are facing better than the unfireable Jimmy Kimmel. Roll tape.
What a child he is. Everyone around him treats him like he's 3 years old. He is 3 years old. He needs a lot of attention, so they let him have a press conference every day. He needs immediate gratification. They give him a Diet Coke button. He gets constant praise for nothing. Oh, you did so good. You're so, look how big you are. Your MRI is perfect. He takes nap time, often in the middle of a meeting. They order him McDonald's. He gets ice cream after dinner every night. He loves to use a Sharpie when he's not supposed to. He wants to hear the same two songs over and over and over again. And he wears diapers. He's 3 years old.
And that's what you get when you vote for a quickly deteriorating sack of moldy oranges that barely stays awake during business hours, just long enough to sundown all over reporters who clearly haven't read their White House-issued copy of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Dementia Ward. Meanwhile, drowsy Don continues to nap his way through press conferences and cabinet meetings, leaving the most incompetent collection of manic morons to ruin everything Americans hold dear. For example, farmers are about as American as apple pie, if you ignore the fact that the dessert was invented by Dutch settlers in the 14th century in England, or that farming itself has been around since the end of the Paleolithic period, around 10,000 and 4,000 BCE. But never mind historical facts. Because when it comes to colonizing a concept, to the point that no one can remember where it originally came from, no one does it better than the United States of America.
Damn!
At least, that's how American farming used to be before Cittolini began squatting in the people's house again. Unfortunately, today's farmers just aren't so lucky. What with their biggest customer, China, going elsewhere for food, leaving a $44 billion hole in their ability to pay operating costs for the foreseeable future, and a president who is too old to understand why his solution isn't fixing the problem he created.
Giving America's farmers a financial lifeline as the country deals with the fallout from the president's trade wars. The president today unveiled a $12 billion aid package for farmers.
We love our farmers, and as you know, the farmers like me.
Another huge win for our farmers following his successful meeting with President Xi in South Korea, where President Trump convinced President Xi to continue purchasing or begin purchasing again American soybeans. He promised the farmers he would be there for them. He is delivering on that promise.
Since the agreement with the Chinese, they are going to buy 12.5 million metric tons. But Margaret, I'm involved in the agricultural industry. I run a soybean farm, and I can tell you.
You own one. You invest in it.
Sorry?
You own or invest in it.
I actually just divested it this week.
That $12 billion aid package trying to help offset $44 billion in farming losses this year.
I appreciate the help, but it's a far cry from what we need. Just the loss in corn this year with a record crop was over $16 billion. The loss in soybeans at production is around $11 billion. That doesn't count cotton and rice, which are even bigger losses than that.
So this $12 billion is not going to make up for this 1 year?
No, it fucking isn't. See, farmers are facing upwards of $44 billion in lost revenue for all of their crops, not just soybeans. And Eric Stad is offering a $12 billion bailout that leaves $32 billion lost to the ether. Apparently, because getting rid of the actual problem that caused U.S. farmers to lose everything just isn't an option. Yeah, I'm looking at you tariffs on every single country and territory on the planet, whether humans live there or the land is inhabited by penguins.
You and every other person in this city, believe me, the message is loud and clear. I'm the problem. Got it.
For fact's sake. Before Gerth Feder returned, the U.S. was exporting upwards of $191 billion in food to other countries. Now, we're lucky if we end up netting 30-something billion at the end of this year, and that mathematical fact should piss everyone who's listening all the way off. Because this kind of revenue loss means non-corporate farms will continue to file for bankruptcy when we've already lost 2,800 dairy, poultry, vegetable, and fruit farms just in 2025 alone. Oh, and speaking of the problem that's now trying to gaslight its victims into thinking it's fixing things, remember when Hippopotas did this?
A $20 billion bailout given to Argentina by the Trump administration is upsetting farmers here in Iowa.
There's an issue right now happening with soybean farmers in the U.S. where China is not buying their soybeans, but they are buying them from Argentina, a country where we just bailed out their economy.
Each year, China buys around 25% of the soybeans grown in the U.S., and the Hawkeye State is the nation's second largest producer. But until the trade dispute is resolved, farmers will need aid to make ends meet.
So I get up one morning, I turn the news on, and you give $20 billion of taxpayer money to my competition.
The same day Trump floated a bailout, Milei announced the suspension of export taxes on most grains. And China, which has not bought any American soybeans this year, purchased millions of metric tons of the crop from Argentina.
Not only are we not selling into China, but here's a case where Argentina is at a time when we traditionally own that market.
Because now that America is under geriatric management, it's not going to be happening ever again. But if you think that that is as bad as it can get, think again. Because Jabba the Gut has decided big corporate farms should get the first dibs on that sweet $12 billion in taxpayer money the Globfather has promised every farmer. And whatever's left can be battled amongst the poors, I guess. Meaning the final destruction of America's small farms is already in play. While also leaving a food hole only corporate farms can fill, which is never good for the customer.
Some of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I am willing to make.
And speaking of the fixers who are causing problems, did you know part of the reason American farms are struggling so badly is because of a lack of people available to run them? I'm talking about the hundreds of thousands of people who pick fruits and vegetables that we all eat, who aren't doing the jobs white Americans still won't do in their absence, because they've been disappeared by masked and unmarked men. I mean, how proud could they be of what they're doing if they're hiding their face in public view?
Stop breaking the law, asshole!
And that extends to that Mar-a-Lago-faced bitch barely running the Department of Human Shame, starting with her latest appearance on Capitol Hill, which began just like any congressional hearing would, with one being questioned using the power of the Karen. Roll tape.
I'm very privileged and honored today to have my family with me.
Stop.
I'd like to introduce them to you.
Dressed as your average cardinal, this protester decided to bring the power of Christ to compel Deportation Barbie to change her ways. Unfortunately, this is how the rest of the interaction went.
The power of Christ compels you.
Oh, does it? Does it compel me?
The power of Christ compels you.
Is the power of Christ compelling me? Is that what's happening?
The power of Christ compels you.
Guess what? It's not that compelling.
And so it was that Pazuzu had been summoned to the Homeland Security Committee's hearing to answer for her crimes against migrants, specifically by a Democrat from New York, Mr. Dan Goldman, who caught the puppy-killing demon in a lie during her testimony.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem faced a grilling from Democrats on Capitol Hill over the Trump administration's immigration policies.
Terry, how many United States military veterans have you deported?
Sir, we have not deported U.S. citizens or military veterans.
Madam Secretary, we are joined on Zoom by a gentleman named Se-Jun Park. He is a United States Army combat veteran who was shot twice while serving our country in Panama in 1989. Like many veterans, he struggled with PTSD and substance abuse after his service. He was arrested in the 1990s for some minor drug offenses, nothing serious. He never hurt anyone besides himself, and he's been clean and sober for 14 years. Earlier this year, you deported him to Korea, a country he hasn't lived in since he was 7 years old.
Magaziner also brought in two other guests to the hearing. One was Jim Brown, a veteran from Missouri, whose wife, Donahue Brown, is under ICE detention despite having a green card for over 30 years. This simply because she was found to have an old misdemeanor over bad checks.
Well, they were already taken care of 10 and 15 years ago, and they were both less than $72. And they were at a grocery store, and that's nonsense. You don't arrest people for that.
Another was Alejandro Barranco, a former Marine whose father, Narciso Barranco, an illegal immigrant, was captured on video being violently arrested.
He's obviously still hurt, traumatized, a lot of emotional damage, I guess. And his life completely changed from one day to the next.
The Hill is reporting that Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem was accused of misleading House Homeland Security Committee members when she said she was departing a Thursday hearing early to attend another meeting that was actually canceled. It's an assertion denied by Noem's office, which said she only found out her meeting was canceled after she left the witness table. She couldn't walk back in there?
Well, apparently not. Because after being exposed for lying to Congress, Kristi Noem ran out of the room like a bat out of hell, only to be hilariously accosted by protesters out in the hallway. In a show of cowardice never before seen during a congressional hearing. It's funny, you know, facts can repel fascists, kind of like how burning sage gets rid of negative vibes. So let's go over some real quick. Like how there have been at least 170 American citizens that have been arrested, detained, and brutalized by Christie's frozen Gestapo since they started terrorizing our neighborhoods.
ICE has detained more than 170 citizens in recent raids. And the New York Times citing video of federal agents tackling people and even telling a group of Latinos, including a U.S. citizen, they have no rights.
George Redis is a 25-year-old U.S. citizen, a disabled Army veteran, who's taking on the federal government after he was detained by ICE for 3 days and nights without charge, arrested during a raid in July.
One agent put their knee on my neck and another agent put their knee on my back, all while like four or five other agents stood around and watched.
It's been disclosed in a new court filing that an ICE agent in Chicago pointed a weapon at a veteran United States citizen, said, quote, bang, bang, you're dead, liberal.
So an Alabama man is suing the federal government after he says he was detained not just once, but twice by ICE agents. Leonardo Garcia Venegas says that both incidents happened while he was working at a construction site earlier this year, and that both happened purely because he's Latino.
A U.S. citizen who was 9 months pregnant was hospitalized upon her release from immigration custody after she was detained by federal agents. Carrie Lopez has been experiencing sharp pains in her stomach after immigration agents arrested her, despite being a United States citizen.
According to ProPublica, with no help from the Department of Homeland Shenanigans, because they don't really track this kind of data, probably because it makes them look really, really bad, like how rappelling onto an apartment building in Chicago from helicopters in order to bust into every single door, drag every U.S. citizen out of their beds, detain them, including men, women, and children, all sitting out in cuffs on the street like this is some old bullshit. And how do I know this? Because the twice-baked potato, otherwise known as Tom the Barely Human Border Czar, has been making sure every fascist frozen pop engages in racial profiling in order to make sure that they meet their quotas.
Here's what the numbers look like. For those we arrest, 70%, approximately 70%, 70% of those we arrest are criminals. Who's the other 30%? The other 30% are national security threats. Who else is in that 30%? These are thousands of illegal aliens who had due process at great taxpayer expense and were ordered removed by a federal judge.
A federal judge in Los Angeles temporarily blocked ICE raids in Southern California, saying that federal agents cannot target people without reasonable suspicion and using factors like skin color, the language that people speak. Will you comply with the judge's order?
We've never done that. What we have always done is built a case and done investigative work in who we go after and who we target.
Madam Secretary, Tom Holman, the White House Border Czar, said...
ICE officers and Border Patrol, they don't need probable cause to walk up somebody, briefly detain them, and question them. They just need the totality of the circumstances, right?
So appearance can be just one.
That is racial profiling.
The facts of how we do our investigations and our casework and what ICE officers are doing today... is they're going out there and building a case just like other law enforcement officers do.
Okay, well, she does have a point when it comes to law enforcement building a case based on how a person looks, because apparently this isn't illegal, although you may have to check with your city and state to find out if that's true where you live. Not to mention last September, when the Supreme Disaster decided judging a book by its cover is considered legitimate policing, and profiling has become the go-to method for the Trump regime's color-cleaning crusade to make America pasty again. And speaking of Nazi concepts being used by Manbu Mussolini's pathetic excuse for a government, leave it to one of the FBI's minions to come to a congressional hearing completely unprepared and ready to admit he don't know shit when it comes to domestic terrorism.
Any domestic terrorist organization that poses a threat to the homeland as we speak?
I'd say the first one, President Trump had just announced executive order domestic terrorist organization, Antifa. That's our primary concern right now.
So where is Antifa headquartered?
What we're doing right now with the organization...
Where in the United States does Antifa exist? If it's a terrorist organization, and you've identified it as number one.
We are building out the infrastructure right now.
So what does that mean? If you said Antifa is the number one domestic terrorist organization operating in the United States, I just need to know where they are, how many people. I don't want a name. I don't want anything like that. Just how many people have you identified with the FBI that Antifa is made of?
Well, the investigations are active.
So you wouldn't come to this committee and say something you can't prove, I know. But you did.
Oh, wait. Is Antifa in the room with us right now? Because, folks, this is an idea. The idea is fascism is antithetical to our democracy, hence the prefix anti in front of fa. And for those of you in the back... when you break down the word anti and fa, you get Antifa, which stands for anti-fascism. Antifa is an idea anyone who is against fascism, by definition, would be, which is apparently a higher thought process concept of which at least 77 million Americans cannot wrap their poorly educated pea-sized brains around.
The suspense is terrible. He's gonna go this time. I hope it'll last.
Meanwhile, as basic logical deduction continues to elude the members of old Yamtits Third Reich, the anchor baby running the Department of State, Marco Rubio, has set his walnut-sized mind on getting rid of all the DEI under his control, starting with the most important part of inclusion, the font it's written in.
Returning to Times New Roman font from Calibri font. That is a directive issued to all State Department diplomats this week by Secretary of State Marco Rubio. He called the decision in 2023 to transition to Calibri by his predecessor a wasteful diversity move, saying in a cable that he sent out that this formatting standard aligns with the president's One Voice for America's Foreign Relations directive. Now, Calibri is a more modern font. It's also believed by some studies to be more accessible to people with disabilities, particularly people who have visual disabilities. President Trump did move early on in January, at the beginning of his administration, to rid the federal government of diversity, equity, and inclusion DEI programs. And this font change appears to be part of that ongoing effort.
Wow. Very disturbing. Marco clearly has too much time on his Moore-sized hands to come for a font designed in 2007 for the express purpose of being easy to read. Because that's DEI? Seriously. This font is used by people who may have dyslexia or astigmatism because the lines on the letters are clean, missing any frills like you may have with other fonts, such as New Times Roman. Because that, dearies, is the important work being done at the U.S. Department of State, making their misspelled and misappropriated words even harder to comprehend. And here I was thinking, spelling Secretary of War with two S's on a placard at a televised cabinet meeting was the epitome of intellectually challenged, but apparently, Marco said, "Hold my White Claw." And the rest is...
Don't be suspicious.
Just like the Republicans are behaving right the fuck now after voting down two options to save Americans from crippling healthcare debt before prices go up to I cannot even afford this shit levels, while their dear leader reminds everyone at his old man field trip to Pennsylvania that he really don't give a fuck about the economy and affordability.
I talk about the economy, sir, here at home, and I wonder what grade you would give
A plus.
Economy. A plus.
Yeah, A plus, 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 plus.
You know, they always have a hoax. The new word is affordability. And everyone says, oh, that must mean Trump has high prices. No, our prices are coming down tremendously. Inflation is stopped. Wages are up. Prices are down.
As more and more people appear to be having trouble finding jobs, definitely having trouble buying homes, and affordability is a big issue.
This was supposed to be to reframe the debate about affordability, an acknowledgement that Americans are paying too much for their lives, that they need help from this administration.
A report out today from Challenger Gray and Christmas shows employers have announced $1.1 million job cuts in the first 11 months of this year, which is a 54% increase from the same time frame last year.
It's very hard for him to lie about how expensive everything is because people feel it.
People are buying their holiday presents. They're planning.
Look,
for...
don't be dramatic.
No.
Don't be dramatic.
Here's what I want.
I know.
The one thing you need still. You know, you can give up certain products. You can give up pencils. That's under the China policy. You know, every child can get 37 pencils. They only need one or two. You know, they don't need that many. But you always need steel. You don't need 37 dolls for your daughter. Two or three is nice.
I think it would be great for him, the morning after Christmas, to tell the American public what his grandchildren received for Christmas. He of gilded oval offices and ballrooms and gold dripping from everywhere, his excesses on a personal level, how dare him tell people how many dolls they can buy their children or how many pencils they can have? This guy is a walking hypocrite when it comes to conspicuous consumption.
Spot on observation, ma'am. Because I don't know about you, but after seeing the latest pics and videos from Epstein's estate, thanks to the Dems on the Oversight Committee, I'm convinced Petty Roosevelt is redecorating the White House in pedophile chic. Not to mention that regardless of how many gold spray decals Ronald Grump uses from Home Depot to gaudy up the people's house, it's never going to be enough for a badly aging man who remembers hanging out with a dude who made his money sex trafficking women and girls as the good old days. And yet this man finds time to have the audacity to complain about pencils and dolls for Christmas gifts when those are the two worst things that you could buy a small child. I mean, the only thing that I can think of that could be worse is being honest and telling little Tommy and Susie that thanks to Republicans having only concepts of a healthcare replacement, the only time they're going to see a doctor is in an emergency room.
So, I mean, what do you say to those, since you brought it up, what do you say to those who say, look, we're not going to extend these subsidies, a lot of this money is going straight into the pockets of the insurance companies, but who say to Republicans, but where's the plan that the American people can kind of get their hands around and say, well, if I'm not going to get my subsidy, I'm going to pick option B?
Well, I think there's a short-term plan and a long-term plan. In the short term, you know, we're still wrestling with how to deal with this.
Do you have the ability to really reform it?
What we have to do is go in and reform it. We have lots of ideas. We pull all that together in one plan. We draw consensus around it, and Republicans are on a mission to fix health care.
So what would Trump care look like?
Well, these are all ideas that we're still working on.
So just a yes or no, you still do not have a plan?
I have concepts of a plan.
I keep hearing this talking point from the Democrats that the next election is going to be about health care, that the president has to solve that. I think that's a trap.
Senate Republicans currently have a health care proposal that would take away, let those ACA subsidies expire, and then put about $1,000 in people's HSAs. Do you think that is enough money, and how do you ensure that people who will see those tax subsidies expire won't see their health care costs skyrocket?
What we're doing is we want all of the billions and billions of dollars that went to insurance companies to go directly to the people, and they can buy their own health care.
Yeah. So he seriously said that, folks. He's saying that subsidies expiring is a feature of the bloated billionaire giveaway, and anyone who depended on them to afford health insurance in the first place is now just shit out of luck. Kind of like you were before the ACA. The literal reason the ACA was created in the first place by Republicans, according to historical fact, but then commandeered by President Obama and hated by every future hat-wearing swallower that we've ever known. Because if we're being honest, it was never their intention to replace the subsidies. They just wanted to get rid of them. And by deduction, in the most literal sense possible, getting rid of millions of people, you know, over some time. Then the lower end people who live in poverty, you know, would not expect to ever claw their way out of it, let alone survive. And while we're on the subject of survival, folks, did you know that Kinkles McTacotits is playing Pirates of the Caribbean on your taxpayer dime?
The U.S. has seized an oil tanker off the coast of Venezuela.
The U.S. Coast Guard seized that oil tanker off the coast of Venezuela.
As you probably know, we've just seized a tanker on the coast of Venezuela, large tanker, very large, largest one ever seized, actually, and other things are happening, so no, it was seized for a very good reason.
The president said that Maduro's days are numbered, and he has repeatedly said that strikes on land in Venezuela could be coming soon.
I think it's pretty clear that the intent here is ultimately to take him out of power, one way or the other. We could be doing something in support of a coup.
To the point of trying to discern what the intent is, experts have pointed to energy as the linchpin of this nexus of countries that are adversaries of the United States in the Western Hemisphere, Cuba, Nicaragua, obviously Venezuela.
Would he use this seized Venezuelan oil to try to help Americans with affordability here in the United States.
With respect to the oil, that's a different issue. As you know, Peter, the vessel will go to a U.S. port, and the United States does intend to seize the oil. However, there is a legal process for the seizure of that oil, and that legal process will be followed.
Oh, it's too bad. No one followed up with that question. Where is it legal to steal and keep something? Because while it's the "this tanker is full of oil" was a sanctioned vessel excuse the Trump regime is using to justify plundering a boat instead of blowing it up with a missile, doesn't make it a legal one, folks. First off, seizing a sanctioned boat that's sitting in your waters is totally fine. Traveling to another country's waters to pillage in the name of gentlemen of fortune is a big fucking illegal fuck you shouldn't. And that's because, regardless of whatever bullshit laws SideQuest Donnie claims is excusing his sudden fascination with Cutthroat Island, the international law of the sea is what decides who walks the plank. And for shits and giggles, it's another illegal order carried out by soldiers who have a duty to refuse illegal orders. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday, and you can follow me or the show on social media platforms, and we are always available for your listening pleasure wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-da for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.